This is your tech news briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. This week, we're checking in on how 5G technology will change our lives in ways we never dreamed. Today, how phone carriers are planning to unclog saturated networks by moving 5G traffic to the cloud. First, let's check some headlines. Amazon says it will protest the Pentagon's award of a massive cloud computing contract to Microsoft last month. Amazon had long been the favorite to win the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure, or JEDI, contract, which is valued at up to $10 billion over the next decade. The Department of Defense investigated and cleared Amazon of conflict of interest allegations, but nonetheless ruled in the end that Microsoft was more qualified for the job. Google's parent company, Alphabet, says they'll stop telling advertisers on what types of websites their ads will appear. Right now, every time you search for something on Google and hit enter, the search giant shares data like your location and search history with advertisers, who then bid on the advertising real estate on the page you visit. But in February, that process is going to change. It's a concession to European data protection authorities, who say the practice violated European privacy laws. The 26th time's the charm for Motorola. The company's bringing back a version of the iconic Razr flip phone, this time as a smartphone. The main display is a foldable 6.2-inch screen. It also has a screen on the outside to display notifications and to take selfies. Motorola says the phone took 4 years to make, and the design process started with 26 prototypes. Pre-orders start on December 26th. It's got a hefty price, though, $1,500. And Netflix chief content officer Ted Sarandos says that this week's launch of Disney Plus, which saw 10 million users sign up on the first day, is not changing anything at Netflix. Sarandos told attendees at a media event in New York on Thursday they don't get, quote, distracted by competition. But he also said with most of the major Hollywood players emerging as competitors, it's unlikely they'll want to keep offering programming to Netflix, which is why the company has invested so heavily in original programming. It's a situation you may be familiar with. You may be at a stadium or in a packed crowd of people. You go to look something up on your phone only to find you can't connect to the internet. You can't make a call. You can't send a message. Well, that may soon be a thing of the past as network providers transition to more capable 5G networks. The Journal's Sam Westren caught up with Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Silvers to find out how these outages could soon be behind us.
So, Eric, we've all been there in a situation when you can't get any signal. Why does that happen?
Well, it happens because there'll be a situation where there'll be too many people trying to get on the same bandwidth, so to speak. And the bandwidth, it is what it is. So obviously, phone companies could stick in more and more bandwidth so that you might have a stadium full of 50, 60, 70,000 people and everybody can sit there and send photos and watch videos. But the reason, of course, that they don't do that is most of the time that stadium is empty, right? So they don't want to waste all their time, energy, and resources building that network. So what happens now is, you know, say it's like a three-lane freeway, and most of the time, you know, there's two lanes that are busy and there's one lane that's for passing. That's more or less how it is most of the time. And then suddenly you've got all those people and all the lanes are stuck and nobody's going and nobody's watching any videos and nobody's posting anything to Instagram.
So how do network companies get around these traffic jams at the moment?
So if we take that metaphor a step further, obviously if there's a traffic jam on the freeway, there's not that much you can do. I mean, if it's really bad, they'll divert it, you know, the traffic off of the freeway and onto surface streets. That's kind of what they can do. They can bring in temporary antennas, which is what they do if they want to. You know, if it's a high profile event, or, you know, if it's the final of the Champions League, or, you know, something like that. And they will, of course, they'll do that, but it's expensive. You've got to bring in trucks. And it's not really worth their while economically, because it's not like someone's going to change network providers because they can't post a photo, you know, during the football match. You know, people know that's how it is. So yeah, they can do it. And, you know, there are some cases, you know, I've read about, there was last year or the year before in Italy, there was a concert with 200,000 people, and one of the cell phone companies was bragging about the fact that everybody had perfect connection. So it can be done. It's just challenging logistically, and it costs a lot of money.
So if that's the experience that we have with 4G networks, what about 5G networks? Would that be the same?
Well, what a 5G network allows you to do, again, the bandwidth is what it is. You know, you can't just add an extra lane. But what you can do is you can direct traffic more efficiently. So, for example, if you think there's enough bandwidth for everybody to be able to make a call, but not enough bandwidth, you know, for people to be posting photos or whatever, or watching videos, what you can do is you can massage the network, so to speak. You can make it work in a way that everybody has a little bit of bandwidth and nobody's hogging it, for example. Or you can take a part of that network and you can save it for example, emergency services, or, you know, somebody at the stadium, you know, there's some important, maybe you have some head of state there and he's got to be able to, you know, you can do stuff like that.
How does that work?
Well, they do it through something called network slicing. And network slicing is really the big change that's going to happen with these 5G networks. And it's what everybody sort of is excited about. Network slicing works because they're moving 5G onto the cloud. And this was not possible without the cloud. And it was not possible with 4G. And the cloud, of course, it's the same idea of the cloud, you know, of Amazon cloud services and so on, where they're you know, these big centers with servers that are storing data for companies and for people and for Instagram and all that kind of stuff. So it's the same idea. You know, if we go back to our metaphor, you know, you slice those three lanes and you have one lane for this, one lane for that, one lane for that. And that's, of course, important because it's a possible moneymaker for the network carriers, because, for example, you could take a part of that network and have really, really, really fast service. You know, for example, gamers are really keen on having fast service, or, you know, you can think of other. I mean, obviously, most traders are going to be on fixed line networks, but you can imagine where companies might want to pay extra to have super fast, or you can have people who pay for super, super, super steady service. So that type of service that never, ever, ever goes out, right? So it's obviously going to be fast. It's 5G and, you know, you're not going to be up on a dial-up modem, but you're going to be sure that it's never, ever going to go down. Or you can have part of it dedicated to low latency. And latency is basically very key for a lot of these new sort of services that we're expecting with 5G. For example, everybody's waiting for autonomous driving. Autonomous driving works only if you have low latency, which means the different computers, the car is dialoguing with, you know, sensors on the street and everything immediately, and there's no delay, you know, the delay that we've, you know, sometimes we all have to deal with our cell phone. So you can divide it like that. That's what network slicing is.
Are there any companies already doing this?
Well, so we have 5G services have begun to be rolled out in the U.S. The four main carriers there are rolling it out, and they have it in a number of cities, you know, and they're adding every once in a while, they're adding services. It's probably some point next year when we can expect it on a very large scale in the U.S. and parts of Western Europe. In a lot of Western Europe, they're including in Italy and in France and Germany, there are some cities that where it's being tested, but it's very much a niche thing. 2020 should be the big year for the rollouts.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Silvers joining me in our London bureau. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks a lot.
And that's today's Tech News Briefing. For more, go to WSJ.com or the WSJ app.